The forum is entitled Last Temptation of Christians, taken from the popular film that's out right now, The Last Temptation of Christ. There are a few people in the community right now who have had the opportunity to see the film and have some responses to share about it. I have some thoughts here that I have read. I have not had the opportunity to see the film, but I've read quite a few articles about it. It was coming out just before I came into the village, so it was hot news at that point. So I was doing a lot of reading at that point about it. And we'll take some time for everybody to have a chance to speak if that is what you'd like to do. But before we get too far into that, I would like for us just to take a second just to get to know each other a little bit. I think it's an important part of Holden's ministry that people get to meet one another. And so I'd like you to take the next minute or two and meet two people that are near you. Tell them your name. Make sure you share names and tell them why you came to this evening. The forum at Holden Village is an opportunity for us to get together as a community to hear a variety of opinions, to acknowledge that there is a difference of ideas and that we are in a situation where we can voice our difference, can clarify our differences, and just have an opportunity to feel like we are heard. I'd ask that you feel free, if you have an idea or an opinion that is different from the prevailing one, to bring that up. That makes the conversation more fun for all of us. That you be brief, that you speak for yourself, no one else, only your own ideas and opinions and thoughts. And realize that tonight we're not here to make any decisions. We're here to have a conversation. And we don't need to come to consensus or majority vote or anything. No decisions are needed tonight. I will act as the moderator. I will facilitate the conversation. If you'd like to say something, raise your hand, wink at me, do something so that I know that you want to talk. And I'll try to keep my eyes floating so I see. And also, I will be the timekeeper. We will go no later than 9:30, and if we're in the middle of a sentence, I'll cut you off and we'll be done. Okay? I know some folks want to get back and get to bed or do whatever they need to do next, so we'll try to honor that 1 hour length. Before we get into the discussion, I'd like for us just to bow for a moment in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity to be in this place of beauty and openness. Right at this time, we seek your openness. Open our mouths that we might be clear and sincere. Open our ears that we might hear one another, truly hear what each one has to say. For your truth comes through us. Gracious God, we pray that you be with us now and through the night. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, for my reading, this film that's out is a pretty hot one. I understand that there have been films before and there's been attempts to make this exact film in the past, and there hasn't been such a commotion about it. So I'd like to hear some opinions. I've done some reading, and I'd like to share a few thoughts that I've read, and then Elmer Witt has just recently seen the movie, so he's going to be our local critic and sharer of information. Emily White is also, I saw her come in, there she is, right in front of Elmer, has also seen it, and they've seen it in different communities. Elmer, you saw it in Seattle?
Yes.
And you, Emily, saw it in Minneapolis, and I understand are there other people that have seen it? You've seen it in what community?
Minneapolis.
In Minneapolis. Anybody else? Where did you see it?
In Chicago.
In Chicago. So I think it would be interesting to hear different viewpoints about, from around the country, response from different locations. If there are folks from other areas that have done some reading in your community, we'd like to hear those responses as well. The most recent Lutheran, which Elmer just gave me this evening, has a good article in it, I think. And I guess I'm giving my opinion. I'm not supposed to give opinions here tonight. It also shares in here a small piece called A Range of Perspectives, and I'd like to read just a couple of quotes from that. One comes from the office of the Bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. The ELCA does not advise its members whether they should or should not attend individual films. The Last Temptation of Christ is a film version of the gospel texts, though it does not treat certain biblical themes. There are elements in the film which are consistent with basic themes in Christian theology. However, other elements are scripturally inaccurate and are not in consonance with Lutheran beliefs. The film contains a number of cinematic excesses and is highly speculative, especially in the areas where the biblical accounts are silent. For example, the years prior to Jesus' public ministry. While it is provocative and controversial, The Last Temptation of Christ is not an attack against the Christian faith. The deep anti-Semitism reflected in statements describing this film as a Jewish plot to undermine the faith of believers cannot be condoned. That's a portion of the statement. The Reverend Jerry Falwell from the Southern Baptist Moral Majority says, "Hollywood has never stooped so low. The Last Temptation of Christ is utter blasphemy of the worst degree. Neither the label fiction nor the First Amendment gives Universal the right to libel, slander, and ridicule the most central figure in world history, and the one whom countless millions have worshipped and served, namely our Lord Jesus Christ." The Reverend Donald Wildman, United Methodist, and the director of the American Family Association, "The script presents Jesus as a mentally unstable person who fights being the Son of God, a sinner who doesn't know who will pay for his sins, a person who angrily lashes out at the sick and poor, a traitor to the Jews, one who lusts after Mary Magdalene and a bigamist. It is the most perverted, distorted account of the historical and biblical Jesus I have ever read." The Reverend Paul Moore, an Episcopal bishop from New York, "The movie is artistically excellent and theologically sound. Christ was portrayed as he was defined at the Council of Chalcedon, is that right? In 451 AD. At once complete in Godhead and complete in manhood, truly God and truly man. Christ is presented as a muscular, strong, manly person who sweated, bled, and had doubts, and was, as the Bible says, tempted in every way, yet without sin." So I don't know what you think after that, but we'll give you some opinions to think about. And with that, I'd like to ask Elmer or Emily, either one, to respond with some thoughts that you've had.
Hey,
well, I agree with the last statement, the Episcopal Bishop or minister.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are excesses, that it is essential that you realize that this last temptation depicted when Jesus is on the cross is a temptation proffered him by an angel of light who later turns out to be Satan. And this revelation is so important, so that all that they say is blasphemous is the temptation of Satan. And it's very well done. The excesses are too much blood and all that business. But the other aspect that I liked was that it made me understand why Judas betrayed him. Because he was shown as a zealot, who wanted revolution, wanted overthrow, and could not understand or go along to the final sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. And in a very touching scene, Jesus says, "Well, I am not able to do what you want, so if you need to go and betray me, go." He doesn't say it in so many words, but he gives him permission to betray him, which is amazing. There are non-scriptural things in the movie, but there is a disclaimer. It's not meant to be the gospel. But when Jesus speaks words of the gospel, it was very powerful. And he's shown as Bishop Thurber is a very manly man and a very powerful person, very sympathetic. So it is worth seeing and very thought-provoking. And one good thing, one last thing, that people who have never thought about these things are thinking about it and asking questions. It is the right-wing Christianity, Christians, or the very dogmatic and fundamentalists who tend to have problems with it. And it is your free choice. I mean, nobody's making it. So that's as much as I'd like to say at the moment.
Okay. Maybe we'll come back to you.
Okay. I'm the kind of person that gets angry when I see a movie that I think I'm being insulted during it. I walk out of this. I walked out of, what's the one where the, well, whatever. Recently I walked out of one. So I don't stick around for them, and I stayed for this movie. It's 2 hours and 40 or 245 minutes long, so it has to be fairly good to hold you during that time. And I thought it did that, and I didn't fall asleep, or I didn't feel insulted. Secondly, I read the book some 20 years ago. My wife and I both did, and we're very grateful for the book. So I was biased in favor of the movie just because I liked what Nikos Kazantzakis had written a long time ago. And I've read several of his other novels as well. So again, I'd clearly be a biased person. On the other hand, all the stuff that had been said about it made me wary to see what they had done. And they did distort, I think, some of Kazantzakis' writing also, which is perfectly legitimate to do. But if you allow that it is okay to write a novel, in other words, something that's really not true, about Jesus Christ and about the Christian faith. And if you don't allow for that, I think you have a lot of trouble if you don't allow for that. But if you do allow for that, then I think it's a good portrayal. As long as you remember, this is what somebody imagined that it was like. The two sex scenes, it all depends on whether you watch soaps or not. If you watch soaps, these are nothing. As far as I'm concerned. The scene where he goes to her house, where she is plying her trade of being a prostitute, and he just stays there a little time, obviously doesn't go to bed with her, and then asks her to forgive him, is really a strange kind of scene. Nobody does figure out why he asked for that, but that scene takes place. And then the other scene in this fantasy from the cross, when Satan is tempting him to leave the cross and go off and do other things. That's the scene where he is with Mary Magdalene. And I think that could have been left out of the movie without harming the movie. On the other hand, I don't think it was worse than a lot of other things that are seen in the movie. And what it does portray is that if Jesus was tempted in every way, we have to admit that he must have been tempted sexually as well. Whatever that temptation might be. The other things I think that some people would be maybe offended by are that he is shown going through different periods. Like one period where everything is just love, just loves everybody, and everybody likes it. Another period where he is reacting you're going to chop the tree down. I think it's out in the desert he gets that message. So he's got to be strong and tear down. I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. That quote is used. And then also, there's a third one, and the fourth one is when he says, okay, I understand now, I'm going to have to die. And that's when he finally gets into that. But he goes through different stages, and some people might not like a savior who does that. But again, that's Kazantzakis bringing it up. And my final reaction to the film is if we can get people together like this to talk about Jesus, and especially to talk about Jesus as a human, that's what Bishop Moore was saying, is also a human being, as well as the Son of God, that might not be all so bad. So I wouldn't say you've got to go see the movie. I don't think anybody is going to be seriously harmed by seeing a movie, who is, you know, is committed to Jesus Christ. Somebody else.
Let's open it up. Maybe you wanted to respond too. You said you had a chance to see it.
Well, I can say a couple things I didn't like.
Okay.
One thing I was told before I went is that it would make Christ so human, and I would, you know, I just see him as being sort of torn down. And as a matter of fact, I saw him in many places in the movie more divine than I ever imagined him. I mean, one place he kind of zaps a spot on the earth and it creates a full-blown apple tree. In another place, he picks up the ear that's been cut off the servant and puts it on in such a way that the camera focuses on the ear, zapping back on the guy's head. I mean, this is pretty divine stuff. There were two things that made me mad about the film, though, which maybe wouldn't trouble somebody else. I was not troubled by the sexual stuff at all, but I was troubled when Jesus, in this movie, and I think the reason this is in there is that the filmmaker is evidently a lapsed Catholic. He comes out of Catholic piety. He puts this Catholic piety stuff in there, which is illusion, really offends me. Jesus reaches into his chest and pulls out his heart.
God, yes.
The sacred heart, you know, yes. Stuff. You know, I mean, yeah. That kind of stuff. And then two or three times the wounds start flowing, you know, before
that's,
the cross.
That's what I call
the wounds, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, which is in tradition and in Catholic stuff. And maybe people are reacting against that. And I think rightly so. I mean, I don't want any part of that kind of fight.
Thank you. Responses to what's been said?
I'd like to hear this lady back here that saw it too.
Oh, was another lady. Oh, yeah. Alice, you saw it too.
Yes. It didn't offend me, really. I might have that, you know, some of the gruesomeness of it was, you just didn't care to watch it. I was interested in the people who came to see the show, too. That it was a young age group in Chicago. And they stayed through it, all the way through it. And while there was an older man sat just in front of us, and just when the parables were finished, the first hour and a half, he got up and left. And that was of interest. Christian Century has a very good article on this, too.
Okay. Any more?
Sure.
You're done? Okay.
I just add, when you said people, I thought you were referring to some of the people on the screen. I really liked the way the crowds or the people were presented as very Jewish looking, very poor in many cases. It was better portrayal of people than I've seen in, for example, The Greatest Story Ever Told or Man Going. A lot of the Hollywood classics have sort of picked up extras out of the Hollywood lot. I think they got these actors from the Near East, and there was a real attempt to make it.
The music too.
Yeah.
The Christian Century does point out the directors have had a lot to do with this, and of course, you know, they take a show any way that they want to go with it, and the one is a very strong Catholic background.
Scorsese's former was in training as a Jesuit priest.
Oh, really?
Responses. We've got lots of favorableness here. Does anybody disagree?
Yeah, I have not seen the film, so I cannot say anything about the film because I will wait in whole judgment until I've seen it myself. I guess the thing, though, that I have observed and been aware of is a response toward the film in the media and from people around. And I guess that was kind of shocking to me. The spirit of upright indignation that was just, you know, I mean, kind of the jowl-shaking indignation that people would show was upsetting to me, that this is still rampant in our country. But there's not, I mean, even though we espouse freedoms to express ourselves, freedoms to, for anyone to write a book if they want to, or make a film if they want to, and that each one of us should make our own judgment, and to see so many of these folks making judgments without even knowing what they were making judgments on, that was upsetting to me. I think how often in other aspects of our life, are they making those same kind of judgments? And they're strong enough in order to carry a heavy vote, for example, in our country? And are they making similar type judgments on their own, on and being able to sway large populations of the public that in the end result in decisions being made that I would not agree with because of their sheer numbers? I guess that was what was kind of upsetting for me. And the second part of that was that initially the media supported all the uproar so strongly, and no one was coming out to say anything in favor. And gradually, some reviewers who were more, I would say, sensible, less fired up about it, began to make comments. And then very gradually, it's like it took several weeks for it to get into the papers, people who had actually seen it began making more calmer observations. And there was less of this furor about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Rebecca.
I'll just have to say I agree with her, but anyway, I want to go on and something else. I was wondering, it seems that a general consensus is that it would not do any harm to someone, to anyone who already has a basis in Christian faith, but I was wondering if you said that it would be, it's just good by the fact that people are talking about it, and that it is introduce many people to Christ, possibly, but I was wondering if there was any chance that it could mislead, if some people could easily misinterpret some of the things in the film who really had no background. And that's just a question for those people who've seen it. Mm-hmm.
Good question. Anybody want to respond to that?
I think it could. Yeah, Elmer said in Bible study this morning that most of our young people don't have any real sense of the story as it's told in the New Testament, like in the book of Mark. Right? And the young people, I know, that's very true. And yet the images we have, I still will admit to you all that my image of the Exodus story comes from that movie that I saw with Charlton Heston, much more than in the Bible study. Mm-hmm. It's a powerful kind of way we learn.
Yes, and the protesting that was at the Cooper Theater, as I heard it in Minneapolis, was so much protesting that it just drew attention to the movie. So people would, some people would just want to go to it, maybe. Mm-hmm. That's all I can say about it, because I haven't seen it.
So there has been protesting in Minneapolis, their community.
Mm-hmm. When it was first going to be shown.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, there's a lot of
protesting in Minneapolis.
And I think that was provoked by the makers of the movie so that they could get people to go and see it.
Okay.
I have a couple of comments. We're in a very conservative, fundamentalist area also.
Where is that?
Texas, South Texas, and San Antonio. And one of the things that the fundamentalist people are saying, of course, that people are going to get a wrong impression of Christ, as we're saying here, and I think that's to be taken seriously. It seems to me like the misunderstanding about Christianity and about Christ that people are going to get is a lot more damaging. The impression that we give when we judge these things without even seeing them, for instance, I mean, that is more damaging to the faith than seeing some fictional story of Jesus. And the other thing, it's interesting. We have a number of independent large congregations in the city, and they didn't get the movie opened until last Friday. The public could go see it, and so Thursday they had a lot of pressure on the theater chain. Thursday they had a private showing for invited pastors, 250 pastors. I wasn't one of them. 30 came to see it, and the most vocal pastor in town, at congregations of 8 or 10,000 people. He was taping his satellite program that day, so he couldn't go see it. He was protesting it, but then he made a statement in the paper. He said, even if I were not busy, I wouldn't go see it. In other words, he was against it regardless. It didn't matter. And that's scary.
I must say, though, that like with cocaine, if somebody told me, you don't really know what cocaine is like until you try it, I'm still not going to try it because I know the evidence of it, and I think that that might be the same with the movie. You know, I mean, if it's misrepresenting Christ, even though it says it's a novel, how many people are going and how many feel that they are going with the thought in mind that this is a novel because it has enough truth in it that, you know, there's a fine line between it being a novel and being the truth.
Yes, back there.
I would think that anybody with a little bit of intelligence...
Can you speak up a little bit?
all this talk about people being confused, I can hardly... Laugh. I mean, I think anybody with intelligence would know if they want to get information about something, factual information, you don't go to some movie to learn the truth. You read the Bible or on other subjects you read some book or something. You don't go to some movie because movies are stories.
Okay. Response to that? You
want to
respond?
Well, I don't want to overestimate our society. I feel that there is a lot of effect, it seems, from television or anything, and papers, and possibly a movie, and I would like to think that people would be intelligent enough, but I don't know. I have no guarantee of that.
Okay. Yes, right here.
Some things that might be speculated about the silent years of Christ, of course, are open to interpretation. Some of the things about the humanness of Christ, I suppose, are open to speculation. But there are certain things that are not negotiable. And even though Christ was indeed tempted in all ways as we are, he was without sin. And it's my understanding, and again, I have not seen the movie, that he does state in the movie, "I am a sinner." Is that true?
No, it's not.
Then that's definitely a misrepresentation.
Does he state that?
Oh, yeah. See, that's what the whole thing is about, is how did Jesus Christ understand himself? I think that's what Nikos Kazantzakis wrote about. But the movie does maybe more than that, or different than that. And for us to say we know how he thought about himself is, I think, is one of those moot questions. When he answered a question about what's the weather like today, when Mary asked him, was he always right? And when he played baseball, did he always win? I don't know what those answers are. But for him to perceive himself in a novel as being a sinner, whether he was or not, but to perceive himself as that, I'd have a tough time saying that it's a... If you say, what does the Christian faith say? I'd say, fine. Jesus is not a sinner. I know that he didn't sin. But that the novelist might portray him as struggling about that, I suspect that's closer to what happened, personally.
You want to respond again?
I'm sorry, when he was talking about baseball, of course, that's just a whole different, and the weather, that's just a whole different kind of thing, a different kind of questioning, whether Jesus realized who he was as the Son of God. And I think from the time of John the Baptist on, he had a pretty clear vision of his ministry.
That's the issue, if he did or not.
Well, he said...
That's the issue. For me, it's the issue.
Go ahead.
Well, didn't he say, though, that I and the Father are one, and whoever knows the Father knows me, so I think he did say that he knew who he was.
That doesn't mean he knew that or felt that all the time. He also said, no one but the Father knows what day it will come. I don't know.
Well, that was about, not about him. Well, that was about...
But that's God knows, and he says, but I don't know.
Back there in the blue, you wanted to, a few minutes ago, you raised your hand. Still have your thought?
Yeah, the problem I have with the movie, you know, deals with what she was talking about. Christ, I'm sorry, I should have looked at this before I came over here, but Christ said, basically, it's what's in your heart. if I look at a woman with lust, I've committed adultery. And that's a problem I have with this movie, is if they show Christ as a sinner, then I don't want to see it. I don't want to give those people a penny of my money. I don't think we have a right to portray Christ as a sinner. And I won't go see it because of that.
Okay.
I think we have another issue that's really important, though, too, along with that. Why are we so afraid to have our ideas challenged? I mean, the person who believes that the world was created 6,000 years ago, I mean, would you take something away from them? If you take or present some evidence to show that that is not true, the whole thing crumbles. And consequently, we would say they don't have a very strong house. Okay, why are we so afraid to have, for instance, that idea challenged that maybe Christ was going through those kind of struggles? What's the problem with that?
Well, my problem with that is if Christ was a sinner, then Christ was absolutely meaningless. And as far as I'm concerned, if Christ was a sinner, then God doesn't exist, because that makes the entire Bible a lie. Okay? You know, it's nothing sacred anymore.
Okay.
But why does that make the whole Bible a lie? I don't understand.
Do you want to answer the question? Or should we go on?
Let somebody else talk.
Okay, right here.
I am not afraid. I am angry.
Okay.
I am not afraid if someone challenges the faith, because there are books, there are shelves, there are reams of material that are cranked out every day that say things that are untrue. And I'm not afraid of it, because the truth will survive and God's truth will prevail. I am angry because they have said things about my Lord that are not true. It is defamation of character, and that makes me angry.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I would say I don't think the movie says he's a sinner. Okay. I think the movie portrays him as struggling with that. I think it would be unfair, and I think it would be unfair to quote the movie as saying that, unless you go see it. Maybe you would hear it differently than I did. I don't think that this movie says Jesus Christ is a sinner.
It did not say he was a sinner, but it says he said he was a sinner. And this person who has seen it says that he says that in the movie.
I agree that he said that, but I said, now that's taking words out of context in the movie. I think that's why it's very unfair to quote that if you haven't seen the movie personally. And that is that he says that as part of his struggle. That's a lot different than just walking around saying I am. He's trying to find out who he is in this movie. And I think you have to accept that context for that statement. Because I don't think, in seeing the movie, maybe I was just biased because I know the scriptures, that I don't think he said he was a sinner. I mean, I don't think he believed he was a sinner, even though he said he was a sinner. He was trying to figure out, what does it mean to do this? He even did things that he thought were wrong, which turned out to be right, because he was trying to accomplish something like that. That struggle is much more part of it, and I think you ought to at least pay attention to that aspect of it before quoting it as being
right.
Right
here.
Does it say in the movie? I mean, I've read that it said in the movie that Christ said he was a liar. Does it say that?
I don't remember that. It would be 2 hours and 40 minutes, and I might have missed it.
I did receive quite a bit of that anti-literature stuff, but maybe you received too.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that several things were wrong, and that they were quoting an earlier screenplay that wasn't the final one. There were things that they said would be in the script that were not there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very unfortunate for their position, because mm-hmm. they're arguing on places of incorrectness.
I see. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But in all honesty, some of the things that came out at first, even though they turned out to be taken out of context and not, you know, maybe not totally correct and all this. I mean, I'll admit, I was one of those. I mean, I was ready to protest, and I was ready to call a theater, and I was you know, I was right in there. My husband never was, so we didn't agree at all. But, you know, I was ready to be, to feel that this is potentially damaging to people who do not know the story of Christ and that it really should not be shown.
What changed?
So I can understand that side.
And it sounds like it changed.
Just hearing a lot of other things, you know, my husband didn't. But, you know, just reading and hearing a lot of other things.
Is this your husband here?
Huh.
Okay.
He doesn't like
candy right now. I want to say that I, too, was swayed by the protests and the negative things that people saying, if you're a good Christian, you must not go see this. And I thought, gee, this is, sounds like censorship. And I called a good friend who was had been a very upstanding Christian, in fact, somebody from the community, and said, oh, it's a great film. I think you wouldn't be hurt by seeing it. I so respected his view, and I went to see it. Of course, my husband wanted to see it. We too have a little difference there. And we both were very moved. And it's a well put together film. There are many elements to that. They give you an authenticity of the time that is tremendous. And so if you can overlook the goriness and not be too picayune about what he says, remembering it's fiction and not the gospel, some of the strong things come through, and Christ is seen as a strong person, even though he struggles, and his struggle in the desert. It is so moving. I mean, we've all read how he was tempted by the devil, but when you see him in that God-forsaken place, all alone, drawing a circle around himself, and sitting there and meditating, and different forms of the devil appear. Oh my! Maybe should. Yeah.
Okay.
No. I have not seen it, but it would be my sense that if the struggle was not so dramatic, his ability to not sin would not be as significant.
Thank you.
I'd just like to say why I went. I also received all the information about why not to. Many clergy in the Minneapolis area were telling their congregations not to go. We were very clearly announcing that. I went because my 23-year-old son asked me to go. He said, Dad, I want to go with you, but I want to talk about it afterwards. Now, my boy has gone to a lot of movies that I don't approve of, but this one, he said, I want to talk about it. And I said, I will go to those conditions, and we spent an hour talking about it afterwards. And, you know, he's gone to a Christian college and all that stuff. A lot of this wasn't new to him. But, boy, if we can talk with, especially our young adults about this, I don't necessarily recommend this for junior high kids or anything, but if our young adults, because I think all the issues in that movie are what our young adults are dealing with all the time. You know, questions of sexuality, questions of, you know, is Jesus divine or human, questions of whether you're going to follow him or not. And your point, it moves me, because I think I want, in this culture, a way to stand up for Jesus. You know, I just feel like I'm wishy-washy, and I want a chance to make a stand. But I don't know if the way to stand up for Jesus is at the front of the theater. I want to stand up for Jesus where those young adults are hanging out. You know, I want to stand up for Jesus in the university classroom. That's where I want to stand up for Jesus. And I don't have many opportunities to do that, but maybe this will give me a chance.
Right, very good. Okay. Thanks. Other questions? Feelings?
Well, the media really played this thing up for all it's worth. They just really went for it. And I've read where only 8% of reporters actually go to a church. The rest of you believe in God and all that sort of thing. Most of them anyway, 40%. Believe there is a God, but only 8% factually go to church. So that tells us something about how they write their reports. My wonderment is what good this do to our Christian faith in the American scene, not just among Christians, but on the American scene. What is the impression that it makes among the populace? It's very important. That scares me.
You want to respond to that one?
I think it's a good one. That's what why I like the novel when I saw it back there. I think that there's heresy on Sunday morning from Falwell and all those other people who make God feel so divine, who deny the humanity of Jesus Christ. That's false teaching. I think it's a corrective for a real push among a lot of people, including in our church and a lot of other churches as well, to make something out of God that God is not. One of my favorite sayings is, God is not nice. We've tried to make God nice. And by that I mean, God is gracious and God is loving and forgiving, but not nice in the sense that we've done it. He's close to all the gutsy things in the world that there are, whether this is sin because he loves the sinner, or whether it's being a human being that struggles. And I think portraying the humanity of Christ alongside of the divinity, not without it by any means, is a healthy thing for the faith. So that may not be, and especially I'm reflecting what Don has said too, for all the people who seemingly tossed aside Christ because possibly because we've made God so nice. That's my opinion.
Yeah, well, we know it's film is based on a novel, not on the gospel.
Right.
That's whole
problem. That's it, right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I'd like to add another thing about being a sinner. I didn't actually hear that, but what rings in my mind is that he said he took upon himself the sins of the world, so he must have understood about sin and struggles. And when I think that Christ actually took the sins of the world, it's not very nice, it's really overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It's the great sacrifice. And you sort of get into this tremendous struggle.
Yeah, back there.
I haven't seen the film, but I'm wondering, just listening to your conversations, that those who have seen it, and I have seen a lot of the placards and people who have been walking up front against it. Maybe the great possibility of this is that so many people, as we mentioned here, do ignore the Christ. Maybe a number of people going to it will make them think about it. At the same time, they know it isn't all right, true, because of all the complaint and advertisement against it. So maybe that will make them think about it and help them to be selective, or else search more about it.
Carol.
The title of the film is about temptation. And as I'm listening, the thought comes to my mind, and especially responding to what this man was saying back here, maybe one of the things that Phil may raise for us is, what is temptation? Where's that fine line between what is temptation and sin, responding to temptation? That, to me, is not very well defined in the Bible. Of course, there's that famous quote that Carter, you know, said about, yeah, as you mentioned too, about having lust in his heart is sin. Is that temptation, or is that one step further? Who knows? You know, that's not really well stated. It's one of those gray areas. What do they call that for the gray area in the Bible? There's some word for that. I've forgotten what it is. And maybe that is a good thing for us to, for each one of ourselves, start to decide, when is it that we're just being tempted, and when are we responding to it?
Back there.
I think that for a lot of us, and I know for me, that the gospel and the Bible seems to be kind of a personal thing, and it kind of something that I really don't want to see up on the screen, see somebody try to interpret for me. And I think and I know I do want to see this movie, and I haven't seen it. And it's kind of something to overcome, because I feel like, well, don't mess with the Bible. We'll just leave it as it is in the book, and don't try to put it up in a movie or anything like that. And I think, though, taking it as it would be very interesting.
I guess I disagree that way in the sense that I really like this finesse with the Bible, in the sense that I appreciate the dialogue that it's evoked with a lot of people I would never have probably had conversations with about that whole realm. And in some way, I kind of feel like God maybe has a little bit of a strange sense of humor in the whole process, because I'm sure there are many people who will be reached by the whole experience that probably all of our good evangelism efforts may never touch. So I haven't seen the movie, but I certainly kind of, I appreciate the struggle that it's kind of created. I think it's a good one.
Go ahead.
There's one part of this movie that Lutherans might have fun talking about a little bit, and that is in the dream sequence at the end when Jesus comes down off the cross, he meets the Apostle Paul.
Oh,
and
yes.
Paul is preaching the resurrection of Christ. Now, you notice that Jesus has not yet died, but Paul is preaching the resurrection, and then Jesus confronts him on that. Basically says, what business have you doing that? You know, don't you know I'm here, you know? And Paul basically says, if I remember the text, something like, you know, whether it literally happened or not is not the important thing. The important thing is we've got to get this message out. Well, I mean, Paul comes off kind of weak in a way there, but I mean, it's an interesting thing to talk about and think more about, this resurrection thing. Does it depend on evidence? Does it depend on an empty tomb that proves something? Or is it actually in the proclamation, you know, as some people say? And do we Lutherans accept? I mean, in some ways, Lutherans should be more offended about how Paul comes out in this one than how Jesus comes out. In a way, you know, Paul's been so important to us. You know?
That's one, you raised one comment that I was questioning, having read the Christian Century review. Says, there is no resurrection, which is true to the novel. What is the believer to make of this interpretation without the central feature of our faith?
At the very end of the film, when you expect the resurrection scene, they flash what appears to be broken film across the screen. So you're seeing this thing flash all over the place. It's just like it's unfinished. Mm-hmm. And I like that. I mean, it made me really think about what is the dynamic of going on here. And I just, all I learned ever about the resurrection came to my mind right there. And I just thought all kinds of things. So I thought it was okay. But Paul, I don't know what.
Okay, ask it.
Well, you repeat it, but I want to know from these people who have seen it, that they would recommend that those of us who have not seen it go see it. Those of us who profess to be Christians.
Okay. Did the people who have seen it hear the question?
Mm-hmm. Would you recommend that the average person go and see it?
The average Christian person?
The average Christian, yes. Mm.
I don't know what average person means. I mean, people that are used to reading, to watching television, watching plays, movies on television, and going to movies otherwise, who have an alertness.
See it as
to
entertainment rather than as biblical?
No, I mean, the people are used to dealing with fictitious things coming out of a novel. If they're comfortable with that, then I'd say yes. I'd encourage them to go. I said before, I don't think it's a movie everybody has to go see. I don't think any movie is that, and I don't think this one is either. But I don't think anybody is going to. I don't think anybody's going to be harmed by it. If they have heard these things that do appear in it, and that bothers them, by all means, I'd say don't go. But I think there are lots of people who can go and be helped by thinking into what's going on there, especially reviewing what their faith says about what's there. Would they notice there is no resurrection? For instance,
Emma.
Oh, I would say pretty much definitely yes, especially if you're as Elmer says, used to going to movies. If you haven't gone to a movie ever and this is going to be the only one you see, it might be upsetting, especially if you take it very seriously. But what bothers me is that we are so unworried about all the violence that we see in the movie. People pointing guns at you, shooting, killing. Nobody gets upset about this.
Oh, yes, we do.
Oh, yes.
All right.
get that movie and be an exception.
Not only movies, but television.
Yeah, well, television especially.
Sure. Did you want to respond to her question?
Yeah. I think a lot of people probably shouldn't go see it, but I don't. A typical member, I think anybody in this room could go see it, and it's not going to hurt your faith at all. But I my one problem is that it's right now in Minneapolis just showing at the Cooper, which is the most expensive price you can pay for film. I always like to say, wait a while till it comes out on a videotape and rent it for your church and show it for an adult study group or something like that. You know what I mean?
That's a good suggestion. That's very good. So that you could talk about it.
Yeah.
Do you want to point out that document for discussion?
This is just something that Elmer and Jackie pointed out to me this afternoon. It's called The Last Invitation of Christ, a discussion guide. It's from a service called Cultural Information Service, if you want to get the address. It's got good questions and particular areas, feeling guilt, spiritual teachers, temptation, suffering. So it gives you a study guide from which to work. So if you would like to get the address for that, I'll have that up here too. I read through it this evening. It's real good.
I would add that, although your experience in Chicago with the Young Islands, I went to the early performance because it was cheaper that way. And when I was there, there was probably a third full, and I would say I was one of the youngest people there, and most of the people were great at it. I had the feeling that several of them were people there with critical eyes trying to find fault with it. There was a police officer in the theater with
us.
We were also leafleted heavily when we left, from the theater. But it was mostly retired people. Maybe that's because they are working that hour, or they could afford it. I don't know what. But so it isn't just people with the young.
I went to that kind of showing too because I got the senior discount.
Yeah.
We have 5 minutes left until 9:30. If there are some last questions or burning issues that you feel haven't been raised or comments, it's your opportunity to do that. Yes.
I thought it was interesting to hear that those that saw it felt that Jesus came across as a strong person, where some of the critics that I have read felt that he was very wishy-washy, almost to the point of being mentally deranged. Mm-hmm.
That's one of the responses that
Universal got $10 million worth of free publicity.
That's another question. What do you think? Who started that?
Yeah. Is there a possibility in the fact that we're trying to see Jesus' more human side, that we are getting overbalanced and it's more human than divine?
No. That's always an issue.
I just wondered if that didn't present anything.
Other thoughts?
Well, I'm tempted to go see it, and I'm tempted to boycott it. Would anybody help me?
Well, I'll say your wife can boycott it, you can go to it.
Well, your wife can.
That's the temptation of Ray.
Yes.
It seems to me that what we are all agreed on, at least, it seems to me the best thing that we agree on as Christians do about it, to pray that God would use it somehow for His glory, because He has a way of taking things that seem to be disasters and turning them into His glory.
Sure.
Very good.
Thank you.
That's true.
Thank you.
I wonder if that film in its entirety would be shown in its entirety on TV, or if there would be cuts.
I don't watch TV, so I don't know what they do anymore.
If it's rated R, then I'm sure there'd be cuts.
Is that what it's rated?
It is R.
But I like your suggestion to have it shown in to get the videotape and have it shown in a study group or to a group of people in the church so they can discuss it later and bring up as we're doing here. Because it is not an easy film to watch, but it's a good film as well. Yeah.
Okay, thank you for your attendance this evening. I appreciate your comments very much and the openness to share different ideas, and that's just what forums at Holden are about, is an opportunity to share ideas and to listen to one another. I hope that you've had a chance to do some more thinking, challenge your own ideas, decide if you're going to attend, whatever. So thank you for coming this evening, and have a restful evening.